Last week I used an illustration to illustrate the various graces that needed to be added to faith. And I said that my illustration was not based on any practical first-hand knowledge at all. And so it proved to be so, because I said in making a cake you add the flour first, and then you add the butter and the sugar and so on. And apparently you don't do that at all. So I have proved that I was speaking the literal truth when I said that I was using as an illustration something of which I had no first-hand experience. But that being the case, I did feel that you would appreciate my telling you that before we started this evening. Now, let us turn to the Word of God, and again to the first chapter of 2 Peter. The first chapter of 2 Peter. I'd like us to read the first chapter again. Let's hear the Word of God. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen, and may God bless that reading from His Word. Now, just by way of a brief recap, last week we were looking at verses 1 to 11. And we saw that Peter's earnest desire for the Lord's people was that they should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simon is writing here to all Christians, not just to Jewish Christians, as in his first letter, because he is writing to those who have the same faith, like precious faith, with us by the righteousness of God, our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So Peter is writing to us because we have the same faith that the apostles had. We believe in the same Saviour. And he's writing and he's reminding us that all needed power has been given to us, that we might grow by means of God's great and precious promises. And now this evening we come to the purpose of his writing, and we'll be looking briefly at verses 12 to 21 this evening. And we see that it's Peter's purpose that we, the Lord's people, should attain to that abundant entrance into our heavenly kingdom when we depart from this life. And Peter says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." Then he says, "Though you know and are established in the present truth." And that is what, as we are Christians, this is the what happens to us and for us in the ministry of the word that we receive week by week. We rarely hear anything new. We are established in the present truth. But nevertheless, it's necessary that we be reminded again and again of what the Lord requires of us, because we are so forgetful. And Peter here is writing to those who know the truth to remind them of the truth. And it's very important to him. He says he will not be negligent. And he says that it is right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. That's the purpose of the ministry, to stir us up as to what the Lord requires of us as we are reminded. And Peter feels a real urgency here, because he knows that his time to depart from this life is drawing near. And he says that he's been told by the Lord. And we know, of course, where that was. We're better looking in John rather than Luke. I put a special marker in, there it is, and here we are in John chapter 21. And the Lord has graciously restored Peter after his denial. And then the Lord says to Peter in verse 18, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And the Lord there had told Peter that he would not die a death of old age, but he would be executed like so many of the Lord's servants. And so Peter knows that his time is drawing to a close, and he is most anxious that the Lord's people have the truths of the Word of God and these exhortations, so that he is writing to them so that they will have a reminder of these things, he says, after my decease. And here they are. The people to whom he wrote then had the reminder. We have it too. And there's another reason for his urgency. And it is this, that this letter was written round about A.D. 66, A.D. 65, or A.D. 66. And he was about to be executed. The previous year, Paul had written his second letter to Timothy. So these are the last words of Peter, and to Timothy, the last words of Paul. But when we look at the time, we find that the brief apostolic age was coming to an end. The time when the apostles were there to teach the truth, to preach the truth. And by AD 66, all the New Testament documents and letters had been written, apart from John's letters and the Revelation to John, which was towards the end of the century. But for all practical purposes, the apostolic age was coming to an end. And then just a few years after that, there was in AD 70 the destruction of the temple. So there were going to be great changes for the Jewish Christians, and there were going to be great changes for the church, because the church would be deprived of the guidance of the apostles, and they were going to be dependent upon the few prophets that would be left as the gifts of the Spirit declined, and how were they going to manage? And what we have here is this warning from Peter, and he must have been aware of the fact that the Lord's people were going to be in great need, because they would not have the physical presence of the apostles to guide them. And so he writes, and how were Christians to live in the light of the absence of the apostles? They would have the Old Testament, but how would they manage without these things? And that's why Peter writes these verses 16 to 21. He says that he's being very careful that they should have a reminder of the things of the gospel before he passes out of this life. And then he reminds them of the essential nature of the apostolic ministry. He says in verse 16, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And we have this remarkable statement here, that apostles, Peter, James and John, they saw the majesty, the heavenly majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that the doctrine that had been preached was not some fancy set of ideas dreamed up by these religious apostles. No, they weren't cunningly devised. They weren't inventions. They had seen the glory of the Lord, and they had been with him when he rose from the dead. And the same with the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ had appeared to him and given him the message that he was to preach. The thing is that Peter, James and John saw this greatest of revelations. Now, what if the knowledge of that was simply passed on as a tradition? You know what would happen as it was passed on verbally. Slight differences would happen here. Church 100 miles away would hear it as something slightly different, and it would end up in the realm of fable, because all that the churches had would be slightly different. It would be jumbled. They would lose it. And that's what Peter was concerned about. He was concerned that not only did they have the Old Testament scriptures, but that they would have the New Testament teaching, the teaching of the gospel, committed to letters, committed to the gospels, a history committed to the Acts of the Apostles. And he said that they saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what made it definite, not the glory definite, but what made the knowledge of it definite, was that it was committed to writing, so that you and I read about it as well. And it's as authoritative now as it was then. And so Peter says, "We heard his voice, and we heard the Lord say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he said, "But now we have the prophetic word made certain, confirmed, or made more sure." There was nothing uncertain in the preaching of the apostles. There was nothing doubtful about it. But it was rendered permanent by the writing down. And what Peter is saying here is that after his decease, after the decease of the apostles, then the message of the apostles, the apostolic witness to the glory of Christ, would be certain and sure, because it would be written down. He says, "I am providing for you by writing to you." And then at the end of this letter, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, he refers to the Apostle Paul. And he said the Apostle Paul speaks of these things in all his letters, in which there are some things hard to understand, and people distort, as they distort the other scriptures. You see, the writings of the apostles were scripture. They recognized that it was scripture, and the Lord's people recognized the scriptures. And so the Lord's people would not be left in uncertainty. They would be able to do what we do today. What did the Apostle Paul say to the Galatians? So we turn to it, and there it is. So what we have then is the importance of the scriptures. The gospel was not an ingenious invention. The truth was preached by eyewitnesses. The apostles taught the truth. But more was needed. The more sure word of prophecy, the certain word of prophecy. And it is the word of prophecy, the word of the scripture, which is, as he says here, a light shining in the darkness for us to direct our souls. And I believe we have in these words a testimony to the importance of the scriptures, to the Old Testament, and to the writings of the apostles in the New Testament. It's astonishing, you know, that the entire New Testament was written over a period of about 30 or 40 or more years. The Old Testament was written over hundreds and hundreds of years. And there was light here and light there, but in the Old Testament times, in the New Testament times, there was a flooding of light, a blinding light of the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have here is the importance of the writing down of the revelation that the servants of God received. Isaac Watts puts this in one of his hymns. I can't remember where it is. It's not in our hymn book. But he says in one couplet, "The prophet's pen succeeds his breath to save the holy words from death." And that's what Peter is speaking of here. And so he says in verse 19, "So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Until when? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The scriptures are for our enlightenment. And how long do we have the scriptures? Until that great day when the Lord comes again. And he says, "Know this first." That is, know this of first importance, that no scripture, not in the Old Testament nor in the New Testament scripture, no scripture is of any private interpretation, any private the word is to do with the origin of the scriptures. I don't know why it's interpretation here. It's really the origin. And it's not of a private origin. It doesn't come out of the individual's mind. It is from God. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so the scriptures that we have, the writings of the apostles, are on the same level as the Old Testament scriptures. And this is most important for the Lord's people, because next week we'll begin to see of the perils that were to come. You notice chapter 2 starts with the word "but." And the Lord's provided for us, but there will be dangers to come. And we have the word of God to guide us. And that's what we have here. And these written words, they are those which stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, that we might be mindful of the words spoken. Now here is another thing. How long have we had the scriptures? Well, we've had them since they were written. We've had the New Testament for 2,000 years. We've had the Old Testament for even longer. And I often think about it, and think about the fact that these words are here for us now, after all these years, substantially as they were written. Now, is that a fluke? Well, if God, if men spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote infallibly, is it conceivable that the Lord would then leave the scriptures to the vagaries of chance, if you like, ordinary daily events and so on. During the persecutions of the 2nd and 3rd centuries, one of the things that the emperor's men did was to demand the copies of the scriptures that the individual churches had. And many of them were burnt, but they went to great lengths to protect them. And they hid them, and they treasured them. And the scriptures have been preserved down through the centuries. And until fairly recently, in modern terms, just a few hundred years, the invention of printing. Because all the scriptures, all the copies, they were all handwritten. And there are some parts in the British Museum which I've seen. And you look at them and you think, these have lasted for years and years and years. And that some of them have been lost in libraries and have been found. But the thing is that the scriptures are God's word. And he who inspired them, he has cared for them. And they have not been lost. And we have essentially what Peter wrote. We have what Paul wrote. And this is one of the wonderful things about the Word of God. And we must be grateful for that. We must also realize the authority of these words that we have before us. It's not just, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's a new thought. I wonder what so-and-so thinks of that. It's not that at all. This is the Word of God. And we should give heed to it. And if we do give heed to it, we do well to heed to it as a light that shines in a dark place. Because from the scriptures shine that light which will bring the dawning of day and the rising of the sun, the morning star, in our hearts. And through the scriptures, you see, we do have the apostles with us still by their writings. And Peter is writing in order to assure the Lord's people, to assure us that the prophetic word, the revelation of God himself in the gospel to his servants will not be lost, and they will be there for the security and the help and for the safety of the Lord's people. And they're here for us as well. And we do well to heed the scriptures, to know them, to love them, and to treasure them. So may God help us. How else could we grow in grace without the Spirit opening our hearts to receive his word? Now we'll be going on from this next week to see why we need the scriptures and the dangers that follow Peter's time, Peter's years. And the Apostle Paul says the same in his last writings. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And we live in them now. And so we'll see what God has in store for us. Well, we know what God has in store for us. We're living through it now.